35, we'll do the seven limb prayer. Go sum gu pe go ne chak te lo ngu sham yi chu chu tri ma lu mu to me to page 97 with a short mandala offering. Sa shi pu ki
Good evening. Welcome back to the class, 10th class. So now this like mode of what is this mode of
asserting object
possessors. Mode of asserting object possessors. Huh? Now what you think this is the mode of asserting object possessor. Now what you think this is to the mama shinji can live and not just the cushion and you know just the so the mind only school there talks about eight types of what is it called here?
Consciousnesses.
Eight types of consciousnesses. Then like six senses. So then six mental consciousnesses, six of them. Then twelve of them called kunshi is the old base. What is it called?
Mind basis of all.
Mind basis of all kunshi namshi. So that is the one carries all the tendency, okay, all the tendency. And also there's a self from the pure mother point of view, there's a self, mind basis of all, that's the Chitta Mata version of self. Then you, I'm just talking to you. Then the second one, what's it called?
Afflicted mind.
It's not just afflicted mind. It's like the mind that grabs. It's like particular types of self-grasping mind. It only talks about in the mind only school, but it actually is like similar to the self-grasping mind. So self-grasping mind, the based on different systems, so based on the Vivasika school, self-grasping mind is the mind that grasping on the aggregate, right? Aggregate, in continuation aggregate, then consciousness, right? So within the Vivasika, there's an aggregate, some of them collection of aggregate. So there's some of them a continuation of aggregate, right? So the Sautantika are like consciousness. So in the mind only school, this has a basis of all the consciousness.
Mind basis of all.
Mind basis of all. That's the one, is the self. Self. So then the second one is called afflicted mind. It's not just afflicted mind. To the mind, that second one grabs on the mind.
Mind basis of all.
Mind basis of all. So then, with that, there's the eight types of mind or eight types of kushinamji. Now the examples. Right? Example. Namjetsotuli is different than six consciousness. That means like six consciousness. Can you read this, please?
Examples of both mind basis of all and afflicted mind are a mind basis of all is a first consciousness that is other than the group of six consciousnesses.
Okay, six consciousness. You understand six consciousness, five senses, and this one. Then namjetsotuli tenshi.
And does not depend on a power as its empowering condition.
So see, empowering condition, all the other six mental consciousness like the power by as a
an empowering condition. Empowering. Yeah.
How do you spell?
Yeah. E-M.
Empowering.
Yeah.
Empowering. That's called Ompo. No, that the mind basis of all doesn't have that. Object is mind basis of all the objects. Can you say the second one?
An afflicted mind is a second consciousness that refers to its referent, the mind basis of all, and apprehends its aspect, a self-supporting or substantially existent I.
You know, the particular types of self-grasping mind, and actually that is self-grasping mind, no different than that. You know? So only difference is like object. Object, Vivasika school object can be like aggregate, collection of aggregate, continuation aggregate, substantial consciousness, in this case, not aggregate, not the one of the aggregate, not the collection of aggregate, not the continuation of aggregate, not the consciousness, this particular consciousness, this called mind, basis of all. There's a different object. Number one, that is it. Substantial something? What's called?
Self-supporting or substantially existent.
So there's self-supporting, substantially existence. What it means, make it easier. That means seeing that object, the mind basis of all is like leader. So then, number one, basically, it's like the aggregate and the self. It's like one is aggregates are more like, how you say, servant, and the self is like more leader. So that kind of misunderstanding is called then to this one, this all this word, and substantial something.
Self-supporting, substantial existence.
Self-supporting means rangjatuba. Just like this, the word rangjatuba means self.
Self-supporting.
Rajatuba is like, have this, you know, like, misunderstanding, or it's not based on aggregate, it's just, like as a independent, you know, it's not, Rajatuba. They just then substantial.
Substantially existent.
So then, you know, there's a, question number the lenses, can you continue, please?
The true aspectarians assert mind basis of all as the illustration of the person, the receptacle of the fruit of actions.
That's where all the karma goes on, So that's not the deal. Lola, some other similar news, did you? Muslim, I just then, can you continue, please?
The false aspectarians assert six consciousnesses and posit the mere mental consciousness as the illustration of the person, the receptacle of the fruit of action.
So generally speaking, mind only school, there's the mind basis of all. There's the illustration of the person. So then within the mind only school, there's a little bit different understanding of the self. So it's not this. So just think about mind, what is the, how you define self in the mind only school, there's a mind basis of all. That's the one, okay? Can you please continue?
The Chittamatrans assert two types of mind, valid and non-valid. There are two types of...
Yeah, pretty much same, yeah. Tine?
There are two types of valid cognizers, valid direct perceivers and valid inferential cognizers.
Pretty much same, not different between substantive system.
There are four types of direct perceivers. Self-cognizing direct perceivers and yogic direct perceivers are pervaded by non-mistaken consciousness.
그리고 나중에 어떤 마트에서 제가 쓰지 온 부분 어떤 근데 이제 무슨 그런 마트에서 니가 이제 please.
Sense direct perceivers in ordinary beings continuums are.
Can you repeat this? Like self knower, then yogic direct perceiver.
Oh, sorry. Self cognizing direct perceivers and yogic direct perceivers are pervaded by non mistaken consciousness.
Self direct perceiver, yogic direct perceiver.
Yeah, self-cognizing direct perceiver.
Yogic direct perceiver is only like Arya being possessed. No, Arya being possessed. No, first, no conceptual thought of understanding of impermanence. Then you meditate. Then the very conceptual thought that understand the emptiness or impermanence become direct perceivers. So when it become direct perceivers means when you start to see it directly. So then very mind they sees. Impermanent, that's a yogic direct perceiver. That's how it's not, no, before it's a conceptual thought. Then, yogic direct perceiver, these are unmistaken.
Are pervaded by non-mistaken consciousness.
No, non-mistaken, these are not, has to be non-mistaken. Then,
sense direct perceivers in ordinary beings continuums are pervaded by mistaken consciousness.
Yeah. So that's a difference. So see, Savasandika Vivasaka school, this has to be non-mistaken. And here, there's a big difference. Here, Sujiji is Ombu Mosa Tshiji Chasa, Ombu Mosa Na. So, can you say, can you repeat this word, please?
Sense direct perceivers in ordinary beings' continuums are pervaded by mistaken consciousness.
Sense direct perceivers, they're possessed by ordinary being. Possessed by ordinary being, that's what it is. Sense direct perceiver, possessed by ordinary being. In this case, ordinary means the beings they don't see impermanent directly. Being they don't see selflessness directly. Those beings are considered as ordinary being. Or, you know, simply because they don't see as impermanence directly. That's why they're considered as ordinary being. So, since direct perceiver is not, they're not talking about valid or not valid, just direct perceiver. Okay, yes, not valid or invalid. It's not about valid or invalid. Every direct perceiver possessed by ordinary being are mistaken. In Savastantika and Vipassika school, that's not true. So only mistaken is like direct perceiver, they see snow mountain as blue, white or blue. Then like the bold person, you know, seeing the hairs falling down, these are direct perceiver, these are mistaken. There are few of them mistaken, not all of them. No, direct the eye direct perceiver seeing the prairie, that's not mistaken. In Siddhamana school, that's mistaken, because this all has dualistic view. That's why they make. They make the mistaken, not based on the object, not based on the object. No, they don't say, okay, I consciously don't see prairie. That's not the point. But when I consciously see the prairie, there's like distance between object and subject. That's a dualistic view. So therefore, every direct perceiver possessed by ordinary beings are mistaken based on dualistic view. So there's a big difference between last two systems and this system. Last two systems, not every one of them mistaken, some of them are mistaken. For example, like, you know, there's clearly some kind of problem in the eye, then you start to see hair falling down even though you don't have any hair. Even though there's like direct perceiver, that's mistaken. Then seeing some people who have like jointies, very strong jointies, they start to see snow mountains like yellow, you know, so that's clearly mistaken. A few of them, not all of them mistaken. Here, all of them is mistaken. So, so now, make sense? all the direct perceiver possessed by ordinary being, they're mistaken because they are not free from dualistic view. That's why it's mistaken. That teaching was similar to the Madhishiva years. So now there's another difference, big difference. So can you come to the second one?
There are two types of mental direct perceivers in ordinary beings' continuums: mistaken consciousnesses and non-mistaken consciousnesses.
First, two systems, particularly the South Tantrika systems. Like ordinary has an...
Ordinary beings' continuums? Mistaken consciousnesses and non-mistaken consciousnesses.
Can you please repeat the word?
There are two types of mental direct perceivers.
There are two types of mental direct perceivers. South Tantrika school, there's no two types. It's all mistaken. Remember? Because why? Because like peace, there's a nanosecond. Because the period is so short, there's no time to correspond to the object. It just appears, so that mental as a direct. Do you remember? So we did discuss some there. That's all we talk about, second, nanosecond, all of that. Because this period is so short. So because of that, all the ordinary beings, there's six mental direct perceivers, all of them is mistaken. No? They can apprehend the object because the period is so short. Does it ring any bells? Yeah. So here, there's two of them. So then, this can you continue, please?
Direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Same, that's not different. Same as last two systems, that's not different. Same. Can you please continue?
Yeah, because although there are form-apprehending mental direct perceivers in ordinary beings' continuums, there are no valid form-apprehending mental direct perceivers in ordinary beings' continuums.
These are same. These are all the same. Same. Because the mental direct perceiver arises in like nanosecond, and it just, finish. After five consciousness, whenever they correspond with the object, immediately right after their six mental consciousness arise, but that is last only nanosecond, just then it's finished. So because of that, there will be no valid, any of them, all of them is not valid, okay, because of the period, because of the best short, the second, not able to, if this is valid, then it's supposed to generate some memory. Only valid one is only that valid one is like that's the only yogic direct perceiver. That's the only one. Yogic direct perceiver. Within the six mental consciousness. If there's anything valid, it's going to be valid when you become Arya being. Because before that is conceptual. So then very conceptual thought, then very conceptual thought becomes direct. Not the six mental, like six direct mental perceiver. This is because it can improve because it only lasts very short time. So because of that, there will be no valid at all. Make sense?
In all schools or just
the school? The last three schools. Vasika, South Tantrika, Chidamata, they're all the same.
None of them have I thought they have the valid direct perceivers, no?
Six mental consciousness.
Direct perceivers.
Yeah, there are direct principles. Some of them are values, such as I say, self-knower, some of them, and the yogic direct principles. No? These are valid.
Okay.
We are talking about the six mental consciousness. No? Then, teacher Sun Yu San Mele said, Tiji Ji Sun Zu Yin Yu Nyam Zun Yu Ran Li Da Sun Zu Ong Yu Ong Bi Mu Su Ki Ji Ni Ba Nam Sun Ma Ma Yi Bi Xio Sun Zu Yi Ji Ong Nyam Zun Yu Ran Li Da Sun Zu Yi Ji Ong Nyam Zun Yu Ran Li Da Sun Zu Ong Bi Mu Su Ki Ji Ni Ba Nam Sun Ma Sun Zu Ong Bu Ki Ji Sun Ma Ma Yi Bi Xio Can you continue, please?
An ordinary being's self-cognizer experiencing a form apprehending mental direct perceiver and the second moment of a form apprehending sense direct perceiver of an ordinary being are invalid cognizers.
Makes sense? Let's begin with the second one. Second one is called?
The second moment of a form apprehending sense direct perceiver of an ordinary being.
And that one. Yeah, no, mine only school. That one is not valid because it's like, how you say?
Remembering consciousness?
Yeah, that's like remembering consciousness. See, even though it apprehends the object, but it's not like first time. It's just understanding the object through first moment, which is valid. Second moment, just remembering object, not like, do you remember now? See, You have to remember the definition of valid cognizer. What is the side of Miluri Ba?
New and incontrovertible.
So new, that like how you say, exclude this second moment of everything. Second moment of eye consciousness, second moment of ear consciousness, nose consciousness. These are all second moment. These are not new means they are not seeing the object first time. They have been just seeing something already been seen, second, first moment. See, new, then that's like sadhu miluva, sadhu miluva, sadhu miluva, riba. So that's the two that is crude. So, yeah, so, you remember?
So if I remember correctly, in South Antarctica, we had mental valid direct perceivers, right? Under the classification of valid direct, valid cognizers, we had yogic direct perceivers, and we had self-cognizers, valid self-cognizers, and we had valid mental direct perceivers. So that must be the first time that you see it with your... Oh no, but you can't see it with your mind, right? There's no first time with your mind. It has to be non-valid. Right.
All the mental direct perceivers
has to be non-valid. That's right.
Ordinary being.
But for an Arya being, it's going to be a yogic direct perceiver anyway, right? Would they have a mental direct perceiver? There would just be a yogic direct perceiver,
yeah,
right?
That's what you call yogic direct perceiver. So, anybody remember the definition of valid cognizer?
Yes, right here. Valid cognizer can be divided into two. The definition of a direct, well, then you wrote invalid perceiver.
Yeah, it's new and incontrovertible.
Yeah, valid is new.
New and incontrovertible cognizer.
Yeah. So why are we saying that there is no valid at all in this other definition? Because they're the senses, but
which one?
The one that you were just saying is not. There's never new. There's never valid.
Can you please repeat that part of English?
Yeah, the second moment.
Hmm?
So, an ordinary being, self-cognizer, experiencing a form apprehending mental direct perceiver, and the second moment of a form apprehending.
Yeah, second moment. That's one. Second moment. Oh.
Are you looking at the South Antarctica text?
No,
Chittamatra, middle of page 12.
We are not looking at South Antarctica text at all. No, we are talking about South Antarctica, but looking at the mind only school. So the South Antarctica and the Vivasika has to be in the memory.
But you know, cognizing direct direct perceivers and blah, blah, blah are pervaded by non-mistaken consciousness. You were saying there is no valid, you know, that whole last thing you just said.
That was for mental direct perceivers.
I know, but my question is, it never says here mental.
On the paragraph above, on page 12, direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers because...
Are we reading the same material?
All of our different paragraphs.
This way.
But it's still... It just...
Second moment. That's where you're confused? Second moment?
No, the statement before that gets...
Where we said direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers, because although there are form apprehending mental direct perceivers in normal
beings,
continue.
It is the same, that's not different. So can you repeat this word? Here, there's no difference between mind only school and all the last two systems. Vibhasika Sastra is the same.
Direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Yeah, so makes sense? Direct perceivers? Not
are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Makes sense?
Except when I look at the old definition.
Well, I mean, if I understand it, I'm doing this because Jill is away and she's going to be listening to this. If I understand it correctly, the second moment that the direct perceiver, the second moment that it sees it, right, it's no longer new, right? So it can't be valid, because the definition of valid perceiver is new and incontrovertible. So it's incontrovertible, the second moment, but it's not new. So that's why it can't be valid. That's what they're saying.
This definition,
yeah,
valid direct perceiver is new.
Right. So valid direct perceiver is new.
Right.
But in this case, we're not talking new anymore. It's the subsequent. Right?
Second moment.
But it's still called direct perceiver. So this direct perceiver...
But this direct perceiver is not valid. Direct perceiver is not valid.
Okay. Is that true?
Now, is that true? Then you have to go back to the definition of valid cognizer. What is the definition of valid cognizer?
New and controversial.
Yeah, so because it's not new. Second moment is not new.
You can have a direct perceiver that's incontrovertible, but not new, and so then it's not a valid direct perceiver.
And so why isn't it? Why do they have a new one? Is there a new one in this system?
So
then it comes to the point about the mental, right?
No, just talk about new. So now see, still a little bit confused here. So now say,
it's okay.
It's not okay. Second moment of that. So Shankar just said, because it's not valid, because it's direct perceiver, because it's the second moment of direct perceiver, but it's not valid. Because now you have to go back to the definition of worldly cognizer. What is missing? It's incontrovertible.
It's not new. That's the only difference. But I think what...
Now, shall I explain? Why it's not new? Then explain.
I get that. But then what's the first moment? Is the first moment valid? Is there valid in the system?
Yeah. First moment is valid.
First moment would be valid.
Okay.
The same. There's no difference. They're the same. First moment is valid, both in mind-only school and the... Last two schools, the same. There's no difference.
Okay.
And then guess what? My understanding, the next point, right, though, is that they're saying that there's no valid mental direct perceiver in an ordinary being's continuum.
Yeah, that's Peter. There's no valid.
Right. Because an ordinary being can't have a mental cognizer, a mental apprehension that is new.
There's no new because the moment is so short.
Yeah.
Like there's like only like nanosecond. There's no, like I say, can like apprehend the object because like only rise, the minute rise is gone. Steve, make sense?
Yeah.
Well, if that doesn't make sense, please need to say it, because then I also help other people too. More discussion, yeah.
Organize all of it, because it's easy to get lost.
Yeah. So see, the ordinary mental direct perceiver, why is not valid? You don't think about the definition of valid cognizers at all. Why is not valid? Because it only lasts like second. Because of that, you know, not able to correspond to the object at all. It's nothing to do with the new. How is it? Then other part new.
Direct perceiving.
No, new.
Oh, the form apprehending mental.
No, like the definition of valid cognizer, new and.
Oh, incontrovertible.
There's nothing to do with that, because six mental direct perceivers only last nanosecond. Because of that, not able to apprehend the object. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm going to say it's okay. There are four types of non-direct perceivers, not valid direct perceivers. Then that would be. Am I correct in saying that? Then that would clearly help.
No. That's not. Then you can't say it, because that the yogic perceiver is valid. Then you can't say that that's mistaken, because then out of four, there's like first one, they can be valid or can be invalid. The second one has to be valid. So because of that, you can't say there's four non-valid. You cannot say that. Okay. That's a mistake. No?
They're combining all of those.
Exactly, yeah, four of them. Some of them are definitely valid. Some of them have valid, and some of them are not valid. And some of them are not valid at all. So because of that, you have to say, oh, there's four types of mental direct perceiver.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot say like non-valid, because there are some of them are valid.
Huh?
Yeah, very good, very good. So I'm just testing in one way, testing to still remember the second moment of, how you say, that why was not valid. If you remember the definition of valid cognizance, you will know right away. You see it like, you know right away, that's good. So, then can you say that, how you say, that means an ordinary person's as a
an ordinary being's self cognizer experiencing a form apprehending mental direct perceiver and the second moment of
so
a form
that is also invalid. Right?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
An
ordinary being's self cognizer experiencing a form apprehending mental direct perceiver.
That is invalid, right?
That's right, because it's the mental direct perceiver of the of the ordinary being. The self-cognizant. Ordinary being self-cognizant.
No, can you repeat that word? Everybody please listen.
An ordinary being, self-cognizer, experiencing a form apprehending mental direct perceiver.
Why that's not valid?
Hello.
Okay. So you've got the mental direct perceiver perceiving form, but we're talking about the self cognizer. So the mental direct perceiver has already perceived it. The self cognizer is just re-experiencing what the mental direct perceiver is. I guess.
No, the question is why is not valid?
If the mental direct perceiver is not valid,
exactly,
then
right.
The self-cognizer can't be valid either, right?
Oh,
because it's just
that's the reason. That's the reason.
Which is I think what Joey was saying. I think.
Huh?
No, I was talking about the second moment.
No, second moment. In this case, there's no second moment.
No, I think what Joey was. Do you mess up? Okay, then he messed up. He takes himself out of it. Okay, so then it's.
Okay. You just said whatever he said. That's yeah. What did he say?
Okay, I just took a stab because there's no credit here. I'm not if the mental direct perceiver is not valid, then the self-cognizer, which is has the mental direct perceiver as the object, can also not be valid.
That's why.
Can you give me an example, Shankar, of what of what that would be like? An ordinary being, let's say
me,
you. Can you tell me what it would be like then to experience a form apprehending mental direct perceiver?
If the form, you know, the form is very big. Just say the prayer wheel. Just say the prayer wheel. Something you can see.
Okay, so I guess I'll take a stab at this, like Joey. So my mental direct perceiver. No, my mental direct perceiver sees the prayer wheel in my mind, right? I have a generic image.
Arise.
The prayer wheel arises.
No, that mental has a direct mental perceiver. Arises. Nanosecond. When your eye consciousness get contact with that prayer wheel, right after that, the six mental direct perceiver
arises.
Nanosecond.
Right.
Minute it arises, gone.
So it arises the second moment, and it experiences the prayer wheel, but it's not valid because it's the second moment.
Not really experience the prayer wheel, but it just arises, it just a nanosecond. There's no time to experience anything.
You're right. Maybe it cognizes the prayer wheel, or whatever it is. The mental direct perceiver arises in the second moment, so it's not valid. Right? Now, I have a self-cognizer somewhere back there, which at the same time is always in...
Self-cognizer corresponds with every consciousness,
right?
Whether it's valid or invalid.
It's always there. It sees the mental consciousness see the prayer wheel, so it can't be... That's all I can say. I can only imagine what the self-cognizer does. I can't say what, you know what I mean.
See, the self-cognizer is not able to also apprehend this six mental direct perceiver because it's only nanosecond. There's no time. This needs to be very clear. Six mental direct perceiver corresponding the arise right after when you see something. You hear something, you smell something, right after that, six mental direct perceiver arise. But the six mental direct perceiver is not able to communicate with the object because it lasts nanosecond. There's no time to correspond. See, the self-cognizer corresponding with the dead six mental, because not ever, everything, it won't, there's no time, it won't last that, like it's gone. Miniaturized is gone.
So
that's why the self-cognizer of direct valid perceiver, the self-cognizer is not able to, because it's gone. It's gone. So then if there's no object, so then you can't talk about valid or invalid. Valid is based on object, right?
Well, now, it's saying mistaking, would that help? If I see this...
Now I need to listen. So first, there's a direct mental perceiver arise only last nanosecond. It only lasts. That's what the text says. Not hard to say. So, otherwise, everybody will see impermanent directly. Everybody will see impermanent directly because we think about impermanent. We think of impermanent, then right after that, when we think about impermanent, right after that, direct mental perceiver arise. If that lasts very long, everybody will be I am being. You know, so when you think of impermanent, right after impermanent, you think of impermanent, right after that, six mental direct perceiver arise. If that lasts very long, the only reason is not able to think, apprehend the impermanence because only last nanosecond is gone. Object is there, but subject is gone. It's gone. If that lasts very long time, everybody will become, the minute you think of impermanence, you will see impermanence directly.
because it doesn't last long. So therefore, then self-knower, that kind of corresponding with that, not able to grab because it's gone, it's gone. The death was invalid. Itself invalid. The self-cognizer, that's invalid. Make sense? Understood? Huh? This needs to be understood. So if you understand, can you say? If you understand? Hello, so, this hard, so.
I thought it was just the valid that was just so nanosecond, but the non-valid is also nanosecond. I mean, the first, it's not just the first moment, it's...
Eye consciousness, right? Eye consciousness lasts a long time. But right after that, you know, the sixth mental, minute we interact with the, some form of, some touchable object through eye, so minute you see, there's no, I'm not sure, like, you can, like, how many times between this, I don't know. I mean, you see, his mental, direct perception already arise. It's gone.
And then what happens? I mean, how can you keep seeing it? Like, what's...
No, the eye consciousness sees. But now there's two things happening. One is eye consciousness, right?
Yeah.
So there's six mental consciousness, right? Six mental consciousness.
Right.
We have six mental consciousness. That six mental consciousness is direct perceiver.
Right.
So that arise after every five sense that correspond to the object, it arises right after it arise, but only last nanosecond.
Right.
So that direct six mental direct perceiver is not able to apprehend object. Why is it invalid? Because not able to apprehend object because it won't last because there's no time. Okay. It's just gone. See? See if the object see if the object arises like nanosecond, can you see? Can we see? If something that arises just nanosecond, can we see?
No.
Can I consciousness can apprehend? Why not?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, too fast. Yeah, too fast because it's gone. It just appeared nanosecond, so they're not able to apprehend because it's gone. Same, this six mental direct perceivers like that. Minute has gone, it's gone. So not able to. If the object is like that, if object lasts nanosecond, none of the five consciousness can apprehend. Right? Because it's gone. Similarly, if the subject only the rise nanosecond, not able to has apprehend object too. It's same. Object, if only object lasts nanosecond, any of the consciousness cannot apprehend because it's gone. Similarly, subject, if the subject only lasts nanosecond, not able to apprehend object, because it's gone. It's just too short.
This may be a really naive question, but so if you could see that nanosecond, what would be different?
No?
What would be so different if you could see that nanosecond? I mean, is that like... I get that Arya beings can see that nanosecond, so I'm assuming that in that you see how things arise then, if you can see that nanosecond?
If you see the nanosecond...
You're able to see the impermanence?
Then you'll be instantaneously enlightened. Something else. And I don't know how you see. I don't know how you see it. Oh,
I mean,
like,
Arya beings can see that, so then... You're able to see something that how something arises.
If they showed, nobody can see. Not just Arya beings. Nobody can see. Nobody.
Well, Arya beings have the yogic direct perception, right? So they see. They
so
see
yogi,
it much longer.
That yogi direct perception is comes long way.
Right.
It's not just like arise.
Right.
Nanosecond and they just live there long time. It lasts long. It's not like that. That yogi direct perception. It's like six mental direct perceiver, but that's come very long way before you understand impermanent, you know, conceptual, then you meditate, then the very conceptual thought become direct perceiver. That will be, that will last a long time, it's not nanosecond,
yeah.
It will be last a long time.
So I think what Geshe-la, if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is, basically, seeing it for that nanosecond directly is not even a possibility. It's not in the realms of possibility. It's not something that anybody would see.
Just think about object. First, just think of object. The object, if something can be anything, if the prayer will arise nanosecond, can you apprehend? Then why? But prayer, not because prayer don't exist. Prayer will do exist, but it only arise nanosecond. So fast can apprehend. If the object is like that, same. If subject arise last, so fast arise gone. So not able to apprehend anything. So then direct yogic perceiver, that's like come long, long way. No, that will last long time. Oh? So then because of that, all the ordinary beings, and all the ordinary beings, direct mental perceiver is like mistaken. There's no valid at all mistaken. So, but the mental direct perceiver is a... does that make sense?
Well, I understand about if it arises so quickly, there's no way to apprehend it, no way to interact with it.
That's why it's invalid.
Yeah. But before, when we said that valid means new, then...
We can't talk about new or in, what's the new and...
Yeah.
What do you call it, the second one?
Invalid? Incontrovertible.
We can talk about that because this things that you talk about, worry about, that's like, is that new or uncomfortable? It's gone. It's gone. You can't talk about it. It's gone.
So why are we talking about it?
You are worried about, you are like wondering whether this six mental direct perceiver, whether it's valid or not valid?
Right. Well, because valid means new, right?
Right.
And so... I'm just wondering why, if it's not possible to have this new direct perception, right? If it's not possible to have a new direct perception, then why is it something that we're talking about? Like, if it doesn't exist.
It does exist. It does. It only lasts like nanosecond. It does exist.
But so a yogic direct perceiver, do they?
They last long time. No, once you generate it, they last long time.
So is it... right, or do I have it completely wrong?
Yogic direct perceiver is six mental direct perceiver. It is six mental direct perceiver. But that comes long way. It is valid. It is valid. It will last a long time. Not every mental direct perceiver is invalid, except the yogic direct perceiver. That comes long time.
So is it correct to say that for that yogic direct perceiver, when they're having their valid, you know, their new, direct perception,
it is valid.
Right. Is that because they're seeing things as they truly exist? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so... we don't have, as ordinary beings, we don't have the ability to see things as they truly exist. Because what truly exists that we see is this short.
We have ability to get enlightened.
Sure, but at this moment, I don't see things as they truly exist.
But you see it pretty well.
Right. But it's not valid what I'm seeing.
It is valid.
I thought that it was not valid direct perception.
Well, eye consciousness?
Yeah.
That is valid, but mental direct perceiver, mental death invalid.
Okay.
All the senses, these are valid.
Right, that's what I thought at the beginning, and then I went around all the sounds, so I'm back to what I understood at the start. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All the five senses, these are direct and valid, unless you are seeing this is a piece of cake. That's mistaken. This is not a piece of cake. This is a prayer wheel. So if you're seeing this is a prayer wheel, there's eye consciousness that corresponds to the prayer wheel. That is valid, direct perceiver. What we are talking about is like six mental direct perceiver. That arises, meaning you see the prayer wheel, it arises
Right after it arrives, gone. It's nanoseconds gone. It never be valid. It will never be valid. So then, unless, you know, as if you become Arya being, then this is going to be different.
I'm good.
What is it?
I don't know.
Ordinary being, that's what I said in the beginning. Ordinary being, ordinary being. That needs to be remembered, ordinary being. There's not all talking about Arya being. Arya being, it's a different case, Arya being. So. Because Arya being do possess six mental direct perceiver, which is valid, what we call yogic direct perceiver. Ordinary being, they don't have any mental direct, valid mental direct perceiver at all. So say some say something. If you
about this, because I thought we just said that even an Arya being, it would not, that whole scenario that Shankar said, that if he was an Arya being, it also would not happen. Am I missing something? I think I'm missing something big. But I get all the other things you said on happening.
Arya being. Yeah, Arya being is different. Is different. Arya being is different. No? Okay. So, okay. So the umbo nimuk mozu ki niwa chama mai message.
The four types. The four types of yogi trick.
Yeah. So now that looks like that. I think everybody understood quite well. So the umbo mozu ki niwa.
There are four types. There are four.
The second moment of...
Oh, an ordinary being's self-cognized experiencing a form apprehending mental direct perceiver, and the second moment of a form apprehending sense direct perceiver of an ordinary being are invalid cognitive.
Yeah, now these two are probably understood quite well, I think. So that's why it's taking a long time to explain. So then... So then the yogi direct perceiver has four...
There are four types of yogic direct perceivers. Yogic direct perceivers that clearly realize subtle impermanence.
What is one?
Gross selflessness of persons. Subtle selflessness of persons. And selflessness of phenomena.
That's good. So, only difference. Now, I'm trying to, same time, try and explain you what's the difference between false true school and this school. False true school, they don't talk about selflessness phenomena at all. There's no selflessness phenomena. So if you remember that, that's good, you know. Then,
valid inferential cognizers are pervaded by conception.
Well, that makes sense? Conception. Yeah, because there's no direct, because there was okay. Yeah, once you understand, please move your head. Like this. So there, you know, in the monastery, there's like, each class is like probably close to 100 people, you know. So then when the teacher says something, everybody goes like this, you know. Very few people go like this. That means you don't understand. You go like, there's something teacher picks, okay, you understood? Why are you moving your head like this? Then the teacher asks you, say, now say.
Sometimes, Gasala,
genuine. Genuine head moves. What is this?
I was just going to say, sometimes, Gasala, we don't shake our heads because we're not sure we understand whether we understand it, you know. We don't know whether we understand it.
Or sometimes we may think we understand it and don't really
understand it.
Namaste, Chabapa, and Damina, and Java, and Dada, and Namaste.
So now the rest, that's kind of like, you could just read.
But if it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomenon, because although an inferential cognizer realizing sound to be impermanent is an inferential cognizer with respect to sound's emptiness of permanence, it is not a conception with respect to that.
You have choice. Should we skip, or should I explain, or skip? We have choice. You have choice. If you think it's important, then I will explain. Chugala, what do you think?
I always want to know it.
Chetele jabai na chel topo imi majas. Now, you know, even though so many words have been said, but it's so easy, you know, it's not that difficult. Chetele jabai na chel topo imi majas, jabai topo imi majas. So can you repeat this then, one by one?
Yeah, valid inferential cognizers are pervaded by conception.
That, oh, everybody understood that. Very good. And then second one.
But if it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomenon, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomenon.
Yeah, so now they're giving the second line is giving the reason why, didn't it?
Because although an inferential cognizer realizing sound to be impermanent.
Okay, that now there's a reason.
Is an inferential cognizer with respect to sound's emptiness of permanence.
So now see, same. Sound's emptiness of permanent and impermanent sound, they're the same. But the difference is like, one is like, how you say, one is like negative, one is positive. Say, how you say, emptiness of, what do you call?
Emptiness of permanence.
Yeah. See, emptiness of permanent, emptiness of prayer will, because emptiness of prayer doesn't say this. Every object is saying this. One is like, I say, see, can you say that with the prayer will, emptiness of permanent, the sound has gone.
Yeah, it says, sound's emptiness of permanence.
Sound's emptiness of permanent and impermanent sound. Same. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Same. So, now see, like, the mind, what is it called? This? Can you repeat this again? From the beginning of
valid inferential cognizers are pervaded by conception, but if it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomena.
Okay, now giving reason,
Because although an inferential cognizer realizing sound to be impermanent.
Okay. Inferential cognizer realizing sound
to be impermanent.
Sound to be impermanent. So that very, because the inferential cognizer also understood not just sound is impermanent, also understood sound is emptiness of permanent. Indirectly. Directly understood sound is impermanent. Indirectly understood sound is emptiness of permanent. That's how is it indirectly understood. So now there's a decent reason why it's not, now let me make a little more clear.
Yes.
One is understood directly, sound to be impermanent is directly understood.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound emptiness of permanent understood indirectly. So because of that, the inferential cognizer is not, there is not.
Not a conception with respect to that.
Makes sense now? Particularly that object, that is not saying it's like generally, to that object. You see, to what? To not to the conceptual, not to the sound, emptiness of permanent. It is conceptual, because of course, right, you are right. conceptual because it's inferential cognizer. Because of that, it has to be conceptual. It is conceptual, generally speaking, but not regard to the sound emptiness of permanent, not regard to that object, is not conceptual. Why? Because it sees indirectly. Make sense now? Now can you read a little bit, the power will make sense. Oh.
Yeah. To read it again, or you want me to
read
it?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So please, like, see if you understood now. Will you read? Huh?
Valid inferential cognizers are pervaded by conception.
Yeah, that's finished. Then the second one, yeah.
But if it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomenon, because although an inferential cognizer realizing sound to be impermanent is an inferential cognizer with respect to sound's emptiness of permanence, it is not a conception with respect to that.
But the word should be but is not.
But it is not a conception with respect to that.
Respect to that sound.
The sound's emptiness of permanence.
Why? Now why?
Because it's by kind of like a side effect.
Yeah, understood. Indirectly.
Impermanence, therefore it understood emptiness of sound permanence.
Indirectly.
Sounds really like semantics. It's kind of like...
So now only it comes down on understanding that regarding that to their object directly or indirectly. Because it doesn't understood directly because of that, and that is not conceptual regard to that object because it does not understood directly. That's all. See?
So then.
Then continue. Continue, yeah.
This is because if it is a conception with respect to a phenomena, it is pervaded by the aspect of that phenomena appearing to it. And with regard to an inferential cognizer realizing sound is impermanent, the aspect of sound's emptiness of permanence does not appear. That inferential cognizer does not realize sound's emptiness of permanence explicitly. It realizes that implicitly when it realizes impermanent sound explicitly.
So this is all English word. I don't understand. So I all now understood? John, you understood?
Not quite.
So last part is critical. Can you repeat the last part then?
This is because if it is a conception with respect to a phenomena... It is pervaded by the aspect of that phenomena appearing to it.
Appearing to it. Directly. Huh?
Right. So what's appearing directly, for example, would be realizing the sound to be impermanent.
Exactly.
And what would come indirectly by the sound that is empty of
permanence. That's like...
But they seem so connected.
They're same. Basically the same. Given we are seeing the same. What is not directly appearing is like sounds that emptiness are permanent, that's not appearing directly.
Okay. It just seems like if you're seeing that something is impermanent, you would be seeing that it's not permanent.
Indirectly. Yeah, because in your language you don't talk about something like that, but it makes it quite difficult. So, musuto means something that you see directly, something that you see indirectly. Any example you give, not here, any example?
I got an example. So if you're watching a dog die, you're seeing the dog dying. You're not seeing it, and this is maybe a really gross example. So you're seeing a dog die.
In your general language, that you like... You use like say okay, understood directly, indirectly. Do you ever use this word?
Sure.
Yeah. How?
I see directly that it's the nighttime. Indirectly, I know it's not daytime.
No, with one object. With one object.
Maybe something like.
You see prayer wheel. When you see prayer wheel directly, you're also seeing.
It's like if you have a room with a prayer wheel, right? You see the room with a prayer wheel, but you also see indirectly a room with things that are not the prayer. I mean, the other way around, right? It's the negation that we were talking about earlier, right? It's a room without everything that's not a prayer wheel, right? But we see that indirectly, but we don't think of it like that.
Yeah, do you see like the emptiness of the prayer wheel, emptiness of throne? Do you see? Yeah, throne or glass.
That the prayer wheel is empty of being a throne? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, what does this say? The emptiness of sound?
Here they say, yeah, emptiness of sound. Sounds, emptiness of impermanence.
Yeah, same. Sounds, emptiness of permanence. Prayer wheel, emptiness of glass. Prayer wheel, emptiness of glass. Is that correct? Is this correct? Right? When you see prayer wheel, do you see that too? Directly? Oh, so that's exactly that. Like you see, what you see directly, you see the prayer will see directly. Indirectly, what you see, prayer will emptiness of glass. That's what you see indirectly. Similarly, when you see sound as impermanent, you see the sound impermanent, but indirectly you see the sound emptiness of permanent. Then you see that, but not directly, but you see it indirectly. Make sense?
They kind of seem like the exact same thing. They don't really.
They're the same thing. Yeah, that's basically it's like sound is impermanent. That's what you're seeing. Whether you are seeing the sound is emptiness of permanent, you are seeing the sound is impermanent. But there's no difference. It's like basically it's like sound is impermanent. That's what you're seeing. But when you see sound is impermanent, you see that directly, indirectly, sound emptiness of permanent. You see that indirectly. So same here, like when you see a prayer wheel, then you see prayer wheel, but in that you see the prayer wheel emptiness of glass. Same, it's just prayer wheel. It is not different than prayer wheel.
Could it be that, so get back to my example of the dog, if I'm watching a dog dying, I'm also seeing a dog not living. That seems to be more in similar.
Yeah. Dog, yeah, you understood dogs not living indirectly.
Yeah, it, to me that example fits better than this and this because the prayer wheel and the cup are so unrelated, but sounds permanence and impermanence are the exact same thing. So if I'm seeing this, if I see, realize that the sound is impermanent, I'm also seeing that the sound is not permanent. That's the example they're using, right? Indirectly, you're saying I'm seeing that the sound is not permanent.
No, you have to say a whole word like sound is emptiness of permanence, yeah.
Permanent.
So that makes difference, yeah.
So the then word empty makes the difference.
Oh.
So that's the particular difference.
Yeah.
Okay, well then that's huge.
Yeah.
So can you say it the opposite way? If I realize the emptiness of the sound's permanence, then indirectly I'm seeing the impermanence of the sound?
Yeah, same. And then you just switch. No, just if you see the emptiness of the sound, emptiness of the permanent, directly, then indirectly you see sounds impermanent.
So if I'm just seeing like gross impermanence, like a dog dying, am I seeing it emptiness of life? But I'm not seeing the emptiness of life directly, I'm seeing the...
So they're not talking about emptiness like what we say emptiness. No, here, this is not really emptiness, right?
The way that they're talking about the sound?
Yeah, that's like,
just talking about lack of.
Yeah, lack of. That's not really emptiness. See, when you see dogs dying, then your questions are.
I can also say that I'm seeing the lack of it. Living.
Yeah, emptiness of. Yeah, you of can see living. That indirectly. You see that indirectly.
Okay, that helps me.
No, you can think about yourself. Yourself is a person. You need to think about the mind. Mind disease. No, that's different. As I mentioned before, you can say okay, I. Then it's like there's like whole kind of a consciousness involved. So just this particular mind, that's the whole reason. This is not that difficult. That's so easy. Not that difficult. So now, should that make sense?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your mind will be absorbed with the fact that the dog is not absorbed with the fact that the dog is not living.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. When you are absorbing sound is impermanent, not like absorbing the sound is
emptiness of permanent, that you are observing that, if your understanding of that comes indirectly, not directly. So because of that, the inferential cognizer has every hand found to be permanent, impermanent. So in that, that very inferential cognizer is not inferential cognizer to the sound that's emptiness, empty of permanent, because that very mind understood that indirectly. That's all. So much word has been said, but that's bottom line. That's all. So they can then, can you, if you read, then you will understand.
If it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomenon, because although an inferential cognizer realizing sound to be impermanent is an inferential cognizer with respect to sound's emptiness of permanence, it is not a conception with respect to that. This is because if it is... This is because if it is a conception with respect to a phenomena, it is pervaded by the aspect of that phenomena appearing to it, and with regard to an inference...
Appearing to me, so directly appearing to it.
Okay.
Appearing means, you know, they usually just, whenever it appears, something appears, that's direct, you know, there's no, nothing appear indirectly, you know, there's nothing to appear indirectly, or there's nothing to appear, you know. Whenever it appears, that's direct, you know.
And with regard to an inferential cognizer realizing sound as impermanent, the aspect of sound's emptiness of permanence does not appear.
Makes sense? John?
Yeah.
Good. It's not that difficult. But the bottom line is, like, you know, sound's emptiness of permanence does not appear. Does not mean you don't understand. You do understand, but it doesn't appear. Not you, not that mind, that your inferential cognizer, every hand found to be impermanent. That you know, we are not talking about you, we are talking about that inferential cognizer. That the inferential cognizer understood sound is impermanent, at the same time understood sound is emptiness of permanent, but understood a little bit differently. Sound is impermanent, understood directly, but sound that's empty of permanent, understood indirectly. Makes sense? That's all. Why? Because that sound, emptiness of permanent, doesn't appear. What is appear is sound is permanent, sound is impermanent. That's the one appears. So that's all. There's all so much word has been said, but that's the bottom line. But otherwise, no, this has all been said in Tibetan too. So when you translate, you have to translate everything. Otherwise, somebody say, oh, he didn't translate very well because there's so many words missing. But the point is that that's the whole point, you know. Chitla toba na chitla namba chitla chitla toba chitla namba chitla kaji. Da mida di jeba chala da ta do ki namba ma chitla chitla. Timo di mato chitla timo di mato de dami on tere. Can you finish that?
That inferential cognizer does not realize sound's emptiness of permanence explicitly. It realizes that implicitly.
So I don't understand the word explicitly, implicitly. What?
Directly and indirectly.
Yeah, so see, now that you do have the word, like, so then give me example, like, say, now give one example, that one object, how you use this both word, explicitly, implicitly, how you use. You just give me example. Yeah, just give example. Not the sound is impermanent, not that, that's here. Something is just use this both word in one object.
You understand that water is wet. But
then explicitly?
Explicitly. But indirectly, you're not dry. So you're...
Not dry means emptiness of dry.
Emptiness of dry.
Lack of dryness.
Lack of dryness.
So see, you have this word, so then the same, like, then you use just... In the water, you just use sounds impermanent. You explicitly, you understood sounds impermanent. Implicitly, then you understood sound is emptiness of permanent. So that's indirect, right? Indirect, right? Why is indirect? Why?
Because you're more focused on the wet.
So see, that's how you say it. But definitely here, there's like, that's the wet is up, wet appears. You know, the emptiness of dry doesn't appear. That's all. Not all the words have been said. That's all. Bottom line is that. Wet appears, the emptiness of dry doesn't appear. Even though you understood, it doesn't appear. That's why you understood that indirectly. So there's all, so much words have been said. That's the bottom line. See, understood now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. What was it? Then I said, can you finish the last sentence?
That inferential cognizer does not realize sound's emptiness of permanence explicitly. Mm. It realizes that implicitly when it realizes impermanent sound explicitly.
Yeah, that's the reason. This whole, all these things just come down on that. Mm. So now, time to stop. Time is over. Also, I need to pee.
Well, Geshe-la, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to stop you from going to pee, but I was just thinking, you know, like, why do they have this in here, right? I mean, like, this is, but what's the point? But it makes sense, actually, when I was thinking about it, because, we're talking about what are object possessors, right? Cognizers are object possessors. So we have to be clear about what the object is, right, of the conception, right, of the invalid inferential cognizers telling us that the sound is impermanent as actually the object, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the emptiness of permanence of sound, it comes indirectly, but that's not the object that it's actually the cognizer is seeing. Right? Is that correct? Is that a way to say it? The object is possessing, the inferential cognizer, the object that it's possessing.
The object that appears, that sound is impermanent.
Is the sound.
Object does not appear, that's like sound,
right.
Emptiness are permanent.
And the reason it's here is because we're talking about.
No, the reason why it's here is because. Some people, they are, wondering if some people just say, okay, like she said, inferential cognizer. If something that's inferential cognizer, it has to be conceptual, right? So they have this clear understanding, okay, maybe, inferential cognizer, that's not really direct perceiver. That's like conceptual thought. So then someone's wondering, if this inferential cognizer has a, if something's inferential cognizer regarding to this object, does it have to be conceptual or not? See? That question arises. See, there's a question that arises, and then somehow that question needs to be clarified. So that's why we are talking about this. As an inferential cognizer, I don't know how to say it. Chitila Jeva, and I was talking about Chitila Jeva. Can you, now we have to go back here a little bit maybe. So, if something is like, how is it?
If an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomenon, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomenon.
Somebody say, it is necessary to have that. If it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, so there's somebody's wondering, respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a conceptual with respect to that phenomena. If it is an inferential cognizer with respect to the phenomena, somebody think it is necessary. Somebody think it is necessary. A conception with respect to that phenomena. Somebody think that's wrong. It's not necessary. So that's why we are already talking about that. It's not necessary. Somebody think it's necessary because, it is inferential cognizer with respect to that phenomena. So then, generally speaking, inferential cognizer has to be conceptual, right? does not mean if the information, if information recognizer with respect to the phenomena, then doesn't have to be conceptual. So we need to read this again. So that's why we are talking about somebody's wondering. Oh, information recognizer regarding to the object has to be conceptual. That's true. You know, every information recognizer, they are conceptual. Does not mean that information recognizer regarding to the prayer will does not mean, you know, that regarding to, how you say, something. In Tibetan word, chetala jabayana, chetala topayana, that's all. Chetala jabayana, chetala topayana, it's only to one line. So unfortunately, this English word, there's something you have to say, something otherwise, how you are going to translate, there's no way to translate. Tibetan word, chetala jabayana, there's one sentence, chetala topayana, there's only two sentences, two lines, finish. That's all that what it means here. That's all that's what it means. So if we summarize, if now say,
yeah, well, you may not know that word. That word inference helps us because it means it's not that directly, it's kind of related.
So now the bottom line is chitla jabayana chitla topayamaya. So it makes sense to learn Tibetan. if you want to use less word. So there's all these words, you know, there's like chitla jabayana chitla topayamaya. Practice-wise, it's not that important. Practice-wise, not important. But knowledge-wise, it is important to understand. But practice-wise, doesn't matter. See, empty sound is permanent directly, or sound is emptiness of permanent indirectly. What is matter? Doesn't matter, no? What is matter is to see sound is impermanent. That's more important. When you see the sound is impermanent, so then, you know, why you worry about seeing that directly, indirectly seeing sound is emptiness or permanent? But, you know, sake of knowledge, sake of debate, when you debate monastery, you know, then, yeah, there's like explicitly, implicitly. So those words matter when you debate, you know. So there's something seen directly, something seen indirectly. Then, you know, get really details, you know, like so clear understanding, you know, like inferential cognizers, you know, clear understanding. In the practice-wise, you know, what is important here to understand how to define self based on the mindfulness school, how to define selflessness, how to define selflessness of phenomena, what is self. These are important, you know. These details are not the only second knowledge, or maybe if you want to debate, so then this is not important, okay? Yeah. So if you can make something short, so bottom line here, so much we said is the appear, not appear, that's all. You know, sound, emptiness of permanence doesn't appear, that's why it's not conceptual to that regard to that object, it's not conceptual because it doesn't appear. But it's conceptual. This is conceptual regarding to the sound to be permanent because that appears.
Yeah, I would say that idea is not brand new to us. The cognizers are new, and the inference, all of that is new. So it really helps me when you say it's not you we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, inferential cognizers.
Yeah. No, then if you think about talking me, then it gets too complicated. This gets too complicated.
But this idea of seeing something indirectly by those examples that we talked about in the dog dying, the prayer wheel, that's not a brand new idea to us. It's just this language is new.
Oh, that's good.
A lot of mental gymnastics.
Yeah. So there, you know, sometimes, somewhere, this becomes handy.
Yeah.
I never dream or never thought that I'll come to North Carolina to teach class here at the Kadamba Center. I never planned, never thought, who knows, you know, so maybe someday you may end up teaching somewhere, you know, so then somebody asks you to teach tenet. So then when you reach this topic, then you say...
I'm thankful for your karma.
So then, you know, but you know, practice-wise, these are not that important, you know. Knowledge-wise, sake of knowledge, you know, is important. Then you, when you read, then you will understand, you know. But this is very new in English language, you know, nobody written text like that in English language at all, right? So that's why it's so complicated. It sounds so complicated. Sometimes it's not that complicated. It's that quite easy, but when you read, it sounds very complicated because there's, so many words, the word distracts. No, less word, better.
I don't think a lot of people think about this topic often.
Exactly. Out like North Carolina, how many people there? Like 1 million? I'm not sure. More than a million. Then how many people are thinking about this? That's it. Talking about karma.
But Geshe-la, you know, like when I was taking classes in philosophy in college, like Western philosophy, right? But if you're reading books, if you're reading texts by Wittgenstein or Schopenhauer and all those guys, right? Their texts are just like this. I mean, it's impossible to read. I mean, it's just words that have definitions, and you got to know what they are. I mean, it's just like this, you know.
And how is about Einstein?
Well, that's a different. Those are formula. I mean,
is it also difficult to understand too?
Well, yes, but that's mathematical difficulty.
Einstein,
you know?
What is it called? Shakespeare? Huh?
Well.
He's difficult to understand.
Right, but he's difficult to understand because the language has changed.
It's kind of very funny because Shakespeare, I thought that like, what do you call that, like,
Incredible Hulk?
I thought that's what it is. So, in like Mexico, there's somebody said, I'm studying Shakespeare. I said, I don't understand what to study. That's, so Shakespeare, so one of the Mexico, there's one has a, like, looks like a quite rich, you know, person, rich person, lady. Then she said, I'm studying Shakespeare, I'm writing about Shakespeare. I said, I'm not sure, like, there's a green man, what is really studying about green man? I did not say anything. I see this, so that's what Shakespeare is. Sorry, my ignorance. Thank you very much. Thank you.